Good morning. I've been looking forward to this day for a month. Some of you have probably been looking forward to something different, but I have really been looking forward to getting back from New Zealand, and it was a great trip. There are many, many blessings to be had by being there, but many blessings to be had by being right here. Those of you that have gotten a rest from my preaching could feel sorry for David and Dwana. They had to put up with me speaking several times while we were in New Zealand. They did great work. They studied with many people, taught many Bible classes, or rather personal studies. They knocked on a bunch of doors. We knocked on 1,700 plus doors while we were there. We left John and Aaron and Lance and Kristen 28 Bible studies that were ongoing, some of them, and some of them hadn't started, left them with at least 20 people that they could call back on to try and set up Bible studies. Great, great opportunity for us to be with them. I've been thinking through the last week or so about today and what I wanted to say, and boy, that's nothing new, is it? But I want to tell you how hard it is. I want to tell you how hard brotherly love is. It's easy to love you. You are so good to me. So many of you have welcomed me back like you really missed me, and I appreciate that. It is easy to love you. It's natural because you're so sweet to me. You're so good to me. But I'm not very easy to love sometimes. God expects you to love me even when I'm not easy. And so I've really been thinking about what this means, about what it takes to love each other. And I've got to tell you, there's not a person in this room that doesn't have some work to do. I think I've said before when I was preaching at a different place, a visiting preacher came in, and I was at the back, and I welcomed him, told him I was glad to see him. He's a good friend. And he said, well, I came today to hear a good gospel sermon. I've heard all about love that I want to hear for a while. And I said, well, you came to the wrong place, because for real, that morning, the sermon had to do with the love of God. And I said, as I pointed out in our bulletin blurb, I might preach the wrong kind of thing about love. I might behave the wrong kind of way about love. But I can tell you this, if I preached every Sunday about the love of God, it would never be too much. There are many other things other than the word love that encompass that are encompassed by the word love. And that's what I want you to think about this morning. I was thinking as I was in the primetime class today, and we were sending cards around, and I love that. I appreciate so very much classes thinking about people that are sick, thinking about people that are hurting. We've got two really special families in this room today who've lost loved ones this past week. It's a great thing that they will receive cards from those Bible classes. But what about you? Will they receive one from you? Will you express your love? We sent a card to John and Aaron Jones. I was talking to John and Aaron about what they felt, what they needed, what the congregation here could do for them. And you know, Aaron said very softly, she's so sweet and soft-spoken, but she said, you know, what we could use is not just a card from a class. It would be great if individuals would send us a note and let us know how they're doing. pray for us, to encourage us as individuals. Brotherly love is hard. It takes effort. Some of you get their newsletter. You could click on a return note on email and just say, hi, John, hi, Aaron, thinking about you, love you, appreciate what you're doing. Takes 2 minutes, maybe, but that's hard work. You have to think. You have to be willing. And that's what God wants from us as we think about brotherly love. Now, this first statement is not exactly true. The word existed a long time before Christ came into the world. But it seems to have been virtually a Christian invention. And what the person who wrote that meant was, you could talk about the word agape and what it meant, but in the world at that time, the practice of agape love was pretty much non-existent. How about in your life? How about you practicing agape love? It's hard work. You won't just happen into it. I met Jan Wilson September 1965. She walked up to a table in the basement of Dixon Hall where the student center was at that time. I looked at her. She was a little later voted as campus beauty. I liked what I saw. I met her a little bit later as she had a date with one of my buddies and I had a date with one of her friends. Jan and I had a good time. I liked that. I asked my buddy, are you going to take her out? He said, do you want to? And I said, yes, I do. I've been taking her out for 51 years. That was easy. I didn't have to work very hard at learning to like what I saw, to like what I heard, to like what I felt in my relationship with her. I didn't have any trouble with that. It was just a natural consequence of a guy and a girl kind of getting together. But you know what? In those 51 years, love hasn't been easy every day. I haven't been very lovable. And so for her to love me has taken a lot of work. It's not a natural form of affection that God is talking about when we talk about brotherly love. It doesn't come naturally. When my sarcastic mouth turns loose some words, not easy to like. When my forgetful nature doesn't do what I said I will do, it is not easy to like. When I forget her, when I need to remember her, it is not easy to like. And so it's a matter of this supernatural fruit of the Spirit, if you will. Love and joy and long peace, and you just read the rest of those. Those are gifts that God gives to us, but it's hard work. It's not one of those things that just naturally comes. And so most of us have not sent cards to people we really do care about because you see that act of love is hard. Most of us haven't picked up the phone and said, I'm thinking about you and I'm praying for you, because that's hard work. Most of us haven't sent a note to John and Aaron Jones or any other mission person working on our behalf, because you see, that's hard work. We've got other things to do that come naturally. Love is hard work. It's a matter of will. You determine to do it. It's not something that just happens. You decide, I am going to love, even if it costs me some time, even if it sometimes costs me some money, if it costs me having to humble myself, going to love. It is one of the most basic elements in Christ likeness, in trying to be like God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. At the heart of this kind of love is giving, and giving something that really matters. Not just giving something that doesn't hurt a little bit. It's giving. Giving something that really, really matters. It's me giving up some time. It's me giving up some of my life to enhance the life of someone else. It's what God did. It's what Jesus did. It's what you and I will do if we love. Look at what a couple of what we call church fathers said about the transition of life in that first century when Jesus came into the world and he suffered and he died on the cross. Justin Martyr said, "We used to value above all else money and possessions. Now we bring together all that we have. We share it with those who are in need. Formerly, we hated and killed one another because of a difference in nationality or custom. Now, since the coming of Christ, we all live in peace. We pray for our enemies, and we seek to convert those who hate us." Do you see a transition in life from the world to Christianity? That's what Justin Martyr saw. Another church father, Tertullian, said, "It is our care for the helpless, our practice of loving kindness that brands us in the eyes of many of our opponents. Only look," they say, "how they love one another." I wonder sometimes if God is looking at my life, and he is, would he say how Roy loves the church in Henderson, or how Roy loves the church in New Zealand? I wonder how God would say, "Oh, how Roy cares about John and Aaron Jones and all of the other people that work on our behalf," and there are many. You see, God says it is what brands us. It's not just one of the church fathers. God says, by this, all men will know. And so when we start thinking about the importance of brotherly love today in your life and in mine, that's how people are going to judge us. By this, will all men know if we love one another. It's the difference from passing from life unto death. I think this passage is important. Listen to what it says in verse 14 of 1 John chapter 3. "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brethren abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." Now, this concept of hate here doesn't necessarily mean that insidious, hurtful, ugly feeling where we would just like to bury somebody because we don't want to mess with them in our lives anymore. It just means we don't demonstrate love. We don't share with them. We don't do for them what they need. And so it's the difference between passing from death, spiritual death, to spiritual life, that we love one another. But it's hard work, because you see, if you turn the page there from that passage to chapter 4, you're going to see, how can we love God? Are you listening to what God is saying to you and me? Are you thinking about how you feel about some people who've hurt you, who've mistreated you, who have done evil things, said things? Are you thinking about how you feel about those people? Because you see, this passage says, if we cannot love God whom we have not seen, we're in trouble. Oh, but I love God. But God says, you can't love me if you can't love those brothers and sisters that you have seen. It's hard work. That's how important brotherly love is. Well, what would brotherly love do? Well, you see, what it does is it treats others better than we treat ourselves. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to work at that? In lowliness of mind, let each esteem others as better than ourselves. We need to treat other people better than we treat ourselves. Is it hard work for you yet? If not, think about sharing what you have. Think about sharing your time. Think about sharing your ability. Think about sharing the goodwill that you possess to be able to give away. As we have opportunity, let's do good to all, but especially to those that are of the household of faith. Paul said to the rich, let them do good, that they be rich in good works to give, willing to share. You see, it's hard work. I've confessed several times in my life that early in my Christian life, when that contribution plate was passed in front of me, giving was a hard thing to learn. I didn't have anything, I thought. I wasn't able to give much. And so when that contribution plate passed, it was hard to get that gift out and lay it in that basket. I confess to you, it's a lot easier now for me to do that than it is to give you an hour of my time. It's a lot easier for me to write a check, let that thing float into that basket, and boy, I feel good because I've shared. I haven't shared much at all unless I share me with you. We need to be people who share. Think about yourself now. Some of you have been hurt. Some of you have been hurt by relationships. Some of you have been hurt by job relationships. Somebody reached into your pocket and took some money out. And we are hurting. And we're looking at those people. There may be somebody sitting in this room that has mistreated you financially. They do business with somebody besides you. You look at them and you think, oh, they're supposed to love me, and we're sitting there just stewing. You see, learning to forgive is one of the hardest jobs that God gives to us when we love the brethren. Every relationship needs forgiveness of one kind or another at one time or another. We need to bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. But above all of these things, put on love, which is the bond of completeness or perfection. In this case, we need to be forgiving people. We need to look at people who've made mistakes, and instead of pushing them out there because they're different from me, they talk differently, they act differently from me, they're not willing to cooperate with me. There may be all kinds of things that are going on in their lives, but you, if you love, you're going to reach out and try to bring those people in. Got a lost sheep? You know the story, don't you? Got 99 here, one out there. What do? You go get that one. But you won't do it unless you really love. Because you see, it's hard work. It takes time. It takes effort to think what to say. It takes an effort to be who you need to be if you restore people in that spirit of gentleness. And then as we relate to one another, we need to be really thoughtful about how offensive we can be, how we hurt each other, how we hurt each other's feelings sometimes. And so let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Nothing in this world is more important than a relationship with God. May we do just that. Encourage people to be like God. Encourage people to love. And let us consider one another. Every one of us, you young people, need to be considering old people like me. You need to help me. When I don't know how to love you, help me. Reach out to me. Instead of rolling your eyes and thinking he's some dumb old guy that doesn't know anything or doesn't care, you consider me. And you old folks like me, you consider each other. We're forgetful sometimes. We're thoughtless sometimes. We look at these young people and we want to roll our eyes instead of provoking them to love and to good works. We want to push them aside and want these 15 and 16 year olds to act 40 and 50 years old, and they can't do it. We need to consider one another and love each other. It's hard work. As we close today, think about what John says. He has so much in this book to say about love. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God, when we keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. God opens the door for all of us to love him, to keep his commandments. It starts with us determining that we want to show our love for God by obeying the most fundamental commands that we can, by trusting him, believing that when we repent of our sins and we are buried with him in water and baptism, that we can be raised to walk in newness of life, born into the family of God. Trust that. That's what God says. And God's invitation is so open to us to demonstrate love for God. But it's also an invitation to demonstrate a love for each other. And so as we close this part of our service, our custom is to extend an invitation. If you need to listen to God, trust him and obey him. If you've been lacking in any of these areas that love demands, you may not need a public response. But if you do, all right, here's a good time. Come as we stand and as we sing.